Matthew chapter 7. We're going to start reading here in verse number 24. We'll be down to the end of the chapter in verse number 29. Matthew 7:24, Jesus says this, "Therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." As Jesus brings this Sermon on the Mount to a close, he has done so with a number of contrasts, which we've looked at over the last couple of weeks, and some resulting questions that arise from those different contrasts. So we saw the contrast of the wide gate and the narrow gate, the broad way and the straight way. And the question that arose from that contrast was the simple question, which path are you choosing? Which one are you walking on? The wide path, the narrow path? Then there was the contrast of the true teachers and the false prophets, which we looked at last week. The good tree and the corrupt tree. And the resulting question from that contrast is, who are you listening to? What kind of fruit does your life evidence? Is it bringing forth good fruits? And Jesus, in our passage this morning, is going to make one final comparison, one last contrast between these two builders. And the question that arises from this contrast is this: what are you going to do with all of this? He says, I've just preached to you this entire Sermon on the Mount. I've laid out the demands and the difficulties of this kind of living, this kingdom living. I've showed you exactly how a Christian can live. And you have my words and you have my teachings. Now, what are you going to do with all of this? And really, there were, and there still are today, only two options. And those options are this. Number one, either you're going to obey the words of Christ and do them. Or secondly, you will not do them. You'll disobey them and you'll disregard them. Those are the only two options. Either obedience or disobedience to the words of Christ. But the choice is yours. And just like the choice between the two gates and the two roads and the two trees, there are consequences to the choice you make, but we must make the choice. How are we going to build our life? You know, I remember learning about the Tower of Pisa when I was a kid. Do you remember learning about that in school? I remember when I was young, I used to think it was the Tower of Pizza, which would be a lot more exciting than the Leaning Tower of Pisa, honestly. But that's, I remember learning about that as I was a kid. And this tower, located in Pisa, Italy, was supposed to be a bell tower. And it's actually just one part of a much larger cathedral complex. There's all sorts of buildings around there. But the problem is that this tower was built on faulty grounds. I was reading about it a little bit this week. This tower was built in 1173, a number of years ago. It stands about 183 feet high in the air, and it moves about a 20th of an inch every year. That's not good. It's moving towers aren't supposed to move at all. But it continues to lean, and they've done all sorts of things to it. They've added a lot of counterweights on one side to kind of correct the lean and fix it. But it continues to lean, and eventually, they say, it will fall over at some point. And the problem is that that whole tower was built on faulty ground. In fact, I read that the name Pisa, where it is, literally means marshy land. That's where this tower was built. And really, there's two issues. Number one, the first issue is the land was not good. The land, the soil was marshy and unstable. But secondly, I read that the other issue is that the foundation was not good, in that the foundation was only 3 meters deep. They didn't build a very deep foundation. The foundation was shallow. It was built on unstable land, and eventually it will fall down. And here in our passage this morning, Jesus is talking about foundations. In fact, he's talking about two builders who are building two different houses on two totally different foundations. And we'll find that there's two different results to these buildings. And so I want you to notice, first of all, the final parable of the Sermon on the Mount. And we read it just a minute ago in verses 24 through 27. This is a very short parable. It's the last parable that Jesus gives. And really, he's concluding the whole sermon with this parable, with this thought. But similar to the last couple of verses, Jesus is speaking of two very different types of people. And I want you to notice that these two builders have a lot of things in common. In fact, I would say that these two builders probably have more in common than they have not in common. And so I want you to notice, first of all, the similarities of the two builders. The similarities of these two builders. Both of these builders had a few different things in common. What are they? Well, first of all, they both heard the words of Christ. It says in verse 24, "Therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine," and again in verse 26, "and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine." The two builders in both of these verses, these two, the wise man and the foolish man, they both heard the words of Jesus. They heard his sayings. And the emphasis there on the word heareth means keep on hearing. They continue to listen to, they continue to hear the words of Jesus. They both heard Jesus share a message of faith and repentance. I think it's clear here that the words of Jesus, the sayings of Christ that they heard, reference not only the Sermon on the Mount, but really sums up all the teaching of Jesus. They heard what he said. They both knew the way of salvation. They both heard a clear presentation of the gospel in Christ and through Christ. They both heard it, and they both had a reaction to it. And in the same vein, both of them were responsible for what they heard. They both listened to and heard the words of Jesus, and they both were accountable for what they did with those words. The wise man was not accountable for the foolish man. Neither was the foolish man accountable for how the wise man reacted. They were individually accountable for the words that they heard from Jesus. By the way, so are we. When we hear the words of Christ, when we hear the Bible preached, we're accountable for ourselves to how we respond to the words of Christ. They both heard, and they both were responsible for what they heard. But I want you to notice also, they both built houses. They both built a house. Jesus likens both of these men, the wise man and the foolish man, to a builder, one who builds a house. And both of them built a house based on their understanding of what Jesus said. By the way, I'm sure you already know this. You've caught this picture already. But the house here in this parable is a picture of their lives. They both base their lives on the hearings of Christ. One of them built their life on the words of Christ, and the other one built his life or based his life on his own self-righteousness and his own goodness and disregarded the words of Christ. And both of them, listen, both of them built their house well. Both of them fully expected their house to stand. Both of them built, they both heard the message of Jesus, and to a certain extent, they both believed it. They both built a house. Notice also, they both built similar houses in similar locations. You say, how do you know that? Well, they were both hit by the same storm. The storm came and hit them both. The rains fell and the winds blew and beat upon the house. The same for both of them. They both built in a similar location, hit by the same storm, which means they must have been in close proximity to each other. In other words, the outward circumstances of their lives were pretty much the same. No one had an advantage over the other. They both lived in the same town. Maybe they went to the same church and heard the same preaching, went to the same Bible study, and fellowshiped with the same friends. Their outward circumstances were very similar, and outwardly their houses looked the same. For all appearances, the foolish man looked like and lived his life just like the wise man. You really couldn't discern the difference between the two. Both were religious. Both were moral. Both were in the church. Both supported it financially. Both were upright, responsible, good men externally. From the outside, both of these men looked the exact same. There was no difference. Behaved alike, believed alike. Nobody could tell the difference between these two men. And I think the picture here this morning is how people respond to the gospel, the message of the gospel. Because that's what we find here. Both of these men responded to the message, the words of Christ. You say, what is the gospel? Well, Paul says in 1 Corinthians that this chapter 15, that the gospel is this, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That is the gospel. It's the gospel that saves us and keeps us. It's how we live the Christian life. It is the gospel is all the words and the teachings and the person of Jesus Christ. And how we respond to it is what makes the difference. And the thought here is this, that of all of these similarities, regardless of how someone responds to the word of Christ, they will build their lives upon what they think Jesus is saying. Whether they believe it and obey it, or whether they reject it and disregard it, that's how they will build their life. And all of the outward circumstances may look the same between those two people. They weather the same storms. They go to the same jobs. They do the same things. They can go to the same church. They can hear the same preaching. They can live the same kind of lives. And on the surface, everything looks the same. It looks similar. On the surface, you can't always tell the difference between someone who hears and obeys and someone who rejects and disregards God's word. Both of them look very similar. You could look at those two houses and you wouldn't be able to find a difference between the two. But we know there was one major difference. So not only was there similarities, but notice there were some differences between the two builders. And the difference was really an unseen difference. And yet it was an extremely vital difference. The house was the same, the storm was the same, but the foundation of the two houses was completely different. Jesus says that the wise man built his house on the rock, and the foolish man built his house on the sand. You know, sometimes we sing that song in our Sunday school. The wise man built his house upon the rock. You know the song I'm talking about? That's what Jesus says. The foolish man built his house on the sand. This man built with very little preparation. They say that the sand in that area of the world, especially in the summer when it dries up, becomes very hard. It becomes almost rock-like. It seems like it is stable. It seems like it is a good place to build. But as soon as the rain comes, it becomes wet and the ground becomes unstable. Sand is always unstable. It is always moving. There's no stability. I remember when we were in St. Lucia, there was a beach. I have a picture here. This was one of our favorite beaches to go to. You can't really swim there, but it was nice to walk there. And it was fun because every time we go there, the beach would look totally different. Every single time, especially if you'd go there after a big storm, the beach would look like a totally different beach. It was always changing. It was always shifting. The sand was always moving. It was a fun place to visit, but I would never build a house there because the sand was always shifting. It could never provide a firm foundation. It would always be washed away. Someone who builds their lives on the sand is the person who hears the gospel, the person who hears the words of Christ, but instead of believing it and coming to faith in Christ, they ignore it. They think that they can build their lives on their own philosophy and their own goodness and their own wisdom and their own morality and their own self-religious achievement. They're driven by the outward approval of men and faith in themselves instead of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. People that build their house on the sand think that they can save themselves. They like the message of the gospel, but they choose to follow God on their own terms. If they like what God's word says, they'll do it. If they don't like it, they won't do it. This house on the sand is built on lives full of self-sufficiency and self-gratification and self-righteousness. These are the ones that Paul says to Timothy have the form of godliness but deny the power thereof. We read this earlier, but would you turn there again quickly with me to Luke chapter 9? I want you to see an example of this. We read this in our scripture reading at the beginning of the message, but I want to read through it again quickly. In verse number 57, Jesus gives us here an example of men that this plays out, men that would build their life on the sand. He says, and it came to pass as they went in a way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Lord, I'll go wherever you go. I'll follow you. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man had not where to lay his head. And the inference there is that the man decided not to follow him because it's too difficult. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And many commentators believe, and I believe also, that his father had not yet died. He's saying, let me go home and get everything in order. And after everything is in order and I've lived life there, then I'll follow you. And Jesus says, no, follow me. And others also said, Lord, I will follow you. But let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home in my house. Let me go back and spend some time there. And Jesus said, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. There's three men here in these verses. And it's not that they didn't want to follow Jesus. I think they all wanted to follow Jesus. Lord, wherever you go, I'll follow you. I'll come. Let me just go home first and get everything in order, and then I'll follow you. I want to go with you. But once they realized that it wasn't an easy path, once they realized that it was a path of total surrender, they changed their minds. See, people build on the sand because it's easy. It requires a little effort. Just a little change here, a little change there. No commitment, no sacrifice, no faith. They think that they can join a church or say a prayer and everything will be good. And that's it. I like the message of Christ, but I don't really want to put in the work. I don't want to put in the commitment, the surrender. I want a little bit of Christianity and a little bit of the rest of the world. And they never fully submit to the teaching of Christ. That's the foolish man who builds his house on the sand. Then Jesus says there's a wise man. The wise man built his house on the rock. The idea there of rock has the idea of bedrock. It's actually in the exact same place as the sand. It's not in a different place. But instead of being on the surface, the wise man digs deep and finds the solid rock, the bedrock under the sand. The rock doesn't move. It is stable. It is a good foundation for a house. It's like the parallel passage in Luke chapter 6, 48 says, he, that's the wise man, is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And some say that in areas of Israel, especially where Jesus was teaching here, that the bedrock, this solid foundation, could be as deep as 30 feet. That's a lot of work. That's a lot of digging. That requires some determination and perseverance. The wise man builds his house the hard way. He takes the narrow road, the hard road. He digs deep. He places his house. He places his life on a solid foundation. The wise man is the man who builds his life on the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel. That is the solid foundation. It never changes. It is firm. It is stable. Unlike man's opinions and ideas and philosophies, God's word, the gospel, Jesus Christ, are totally unchanging. It is a sure foundation. And Jesus says, the one who obeys my words, the one who hears my teachings and does them, he is the wise man. The one who obeys is the one who is placing their life on the solid foundation of Christ. And when the storms of life come, and by the way, they will come. And when the storms come, the one who has obeyed my word, the one who has put their faith in the gospel, the one who is obeying the clear commands of Scripture, the one who hears my word and does it, he is the one who is going to remain stable. Remain firm. Not so with the foolish man. Jesus says when the rains come and the winds blow and beat upon that house, it is going to fall, and great is the fall of it. Listen, I want you to get this morning. If you build your life on anything other than Christ, if your faith this morning is in anything else, in addition to or in place of Jesus Christ, then when the storms of life come, whether the storms of life now or the final judgment of Christ, you will not be able to stand. If your faith is in anything else but Christ, you cannot stand. Let me say it this way. You know this morning that you can join the church and still go to hell? You can be baptized. You can be a good person, at least in the eyes of those around you. You can build your house on religion. You can build your house on human wisdom or human philosophies or anything else that you can think of. You can do all those things and you can still die and go to an eternity forever separated from Christ in hell. But if you build your life this morning by faith, on the Lord Jesus Christ, on his death, his burial, his resurrection from the dead, then your house will stand. You will be saved. See, I think the foolish man never thought that his house was going to fall. He thought it was going to stand. He had built it well. He had a lot of confidence in it. But his confidence was totally misplaced. His confidence was in himself and not in Christ. And he fell. So I want you to notice just quickly here the fickle response to the Sermon on the Mount. Notice this in verse 28. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Jesus finishes the Sermon on the Mount. I've said this before, but wouldn't you have loved to be there to listen to Jesus preach this sermon? And I can just imagine in my mind, as Jesus finishes up this sermon, that people are just sitting there, not saying anything. Just like mouths wide open, minds blown. Like this was amazing. By these, what to them would have been radical, authoritative teachings. And they were blown away by two things, by his doctrine and by his authority in speaking. They had never before heard such comprehensive, insightful words of wisdom and depth and insight. They had never heard anyone speak of the Pharisees and the religious leaders like Jesus did. They had never heard an explanation of the way to heaven, of the gospel, the way that Jesus gave. They never heard such a description of righteous living contrasted with self-righteousness of the religious leaders. They had never heard anything like that before. And they were astonished. They were amazed that Jesus taught with such authority and such power in such a way that they had never witnessed before. By the way, Jesus was the final authority. Jesus had all authority. He could speak with all authority and all power because he was sovereign God. He could speak that way. He spoke eternal truth simply and directly and with love, something that they had never heard before. And they had all rights to be amazed by it. And they were. But I want you to notice just two quick thoughts here before we take some applications. First of all, I was thinking this. Jesus didn't speak all of these things so that they would be amazed. Jesus didn't preach this sermon to wow them. What they needed was not to be amazed, but to believe. Not just to be wowed, but to be obedient to this message. Jesus spoke all of these things, not just for their information, but for their salvation. And even today, as we hold the Word of God in our hands, let me say this, it's not just that we would know about God. God has given us His Word so that we can know God personally. And intimately. His words aren't meant to show us how righteous we are, or how good we are, or how we can do righteousness. His words show us how far short we fall of the righteousness of God, and what we actually need. How hopeless and how destitute we are without Christ, and yet what great salvation and hope we have in Him. These words, as we hold it in our hands, don't just show us how to be good people. They show us how to be faith-filled, trusting people who build our lives on the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus didn't just speak these things to wow them. He spoke them that they would obey them. But then also I was thinking this. I said it was a fickle response. Because of this, I think for the majority of people that heard this sermon, it went in one ear and out the other. They were exactly like the people that Jesus spoke of, the foolish man. They heard, they listened, they were amazed even, but nothing changed. They didn't follow Christ. In fact, just a little while later, they're shouting out, "Crucify him, crucify him." They built their lives on the sands. They knew truth, but they rejected it. C.S. Lewis said this, I want to share this, in speaking about the attitude of so many that hear the gospel. He said this, "When I was a child, I often had a toothache. And I knew that if I went to my mother, she would give me something which would deaden the pain for that night and let me go to sleep. But I did not go to my mother, at least not till the pain became very bad. And the reason I did not go was this." I think maybe every child thinks this way. He said, "I didn't go because I knew, I did not doubt that she would give me aspirin, but I knew that she would also do something else. I knew that she would take me to the dentist the next morning. I could not get what I wanted out of her without getting something more, which I did not want. I wanted immediate relief from the pain, but I could not get it without having my teeth set permanently right. And I knew those dentists," he said. "I knew they started fiddling about with all sorts of other teeth, which had not yet begun to ache. They would not let sleeping dogs lie." In other words, I'll put up with the pain because I don't want all the other things that come with it. And I think what C.S. Lewis was saying was this, and he continues in that illustration, but he was saying this, is that the price for following Christ is more than most people want to pay. They want temporary relief from the pain without ever dealing with the root of the problem. They want to live on the broad road, but they still want to be on the road that leads to life. And Jesus is saying you can't have both. It doesn't work that way. They like Jesus. He's a good person. I like his teachings when they suit me. But I don't want all the other commitments and the surrender that comes with following Christ. The people responded in amazement, but it never really changed them. So what do I want us to take away from all of this? Really, there are two simple things. Number one, I hope we understand this morning that we are all building a house. A spiritual house, if you will. And we are building it by faith on Christ. Or we're either building it by faith on Christ, understanding that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. Or we're building it upon our own works and our own merits. But we're all building a house on something. Every day we're building this house and adding to it and putting more nails in. And the question is this, where are you building your house? What kind of foundation are you building upon? My encouragement to you this morning is that you need to build your house on Christ, the solid rock of the gospel. It's never too late to change foundations. Make sure you're building on the right one. And then for those of us who know Christ and have built our lives on him, I want us to be reminded of this just as we finish up the Sermon on the Mount. We spent quite a few months going through all of these verses in the sermon. Jesus says, "Who is the wise man?" The wise man is the one who hears and does the things that I've just told you, my teachings. James says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only." You say, so what are we supposed to do? Be poor in spirit. Mourn over your sin. Be meek. hunger and thirst after righteousness, be merciful, be pure in heart, be a peacemaker, be counted, rejoice when you're counted worthy to suffer for Christ, be salt, be light to those around you. Let your righteousness come from the Spirit working within you, not just behavior modification. Remember that your heart, attitude, and anger and adultery is more important than your actual outward behavior. If your eye offends you, if your hand, right hand offends you, cut it off. Remove those things that are causing sin from your life. Don't make oaths. Be a man or woman of your word. Give to those that need it. Go the extra mile. Love your enemies. Bless them that persecute you. Don't practice your righteousness before men, but give and pray and fast in secret so that the Lord who sees in secret will reward you openly. Forgive those that have wronged you. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures here on earth, but be generous and be giving with what you have. Trust your loving God. Be anxious for nothing. Seek God's righteousness. Seek his kingdom first. Trust him for all your daily needs. Judge righteously, not the motives, not the heart, but the fruit. Pray. Do unto others what you would have them do unto you. Enter in at the straight gate. Mark false teachers. Be known by your fruit. Now that's a summary of the whole Sermon on the Mount in about a minute. You're thinking this morning, well, why didn't you just do that from the very beginning? This is what Jesus is saying as he closes up the Sermon on the Mount. This is what I want us to get. All of those things that we just summarized really quickly. Jesus says, go and do these things. Don't be like the foolish man who hears the words of Christ and disregards them and doesn't do them. He says, be like the wise man who hears the words of Christ and builds his life on them, who does them. Don't just be a hearer. Don't just be like the people who sit here and who are amazed at the teaching and the doctrine and the authority of Christ. Let him change you from the inside out. Be a wise builder who hears the words of Christ and does them. And when the storms of life come, you will stand firm. Be doers of the word and not just hearers only.